The viewpoints expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of WRUU, its license holder, or its staff. You are listening to WRUU LP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM. Hello, and welcome to Taking the Journey Together. We are your hosts, Craig and Sharon Butts.
Thank you for joining us as we explore interpersonal concerns and problems in dating, cohabiting, and marriage. Our relationship stories come from research and personal testimony. Our main focus is on Black American relationships. However, our expanding world has us reaching out to include multicultural relationships as well.
Now, let's get right into our show. All right. We're listening to the Isley Brothers. Welcome to Taking the Journey Together. Today we're going to be talking about some
responsibility.
Responsibility. Still part of our thriving relationships. Are we really sure in our relationship? Do we still operate in a responsible way? Hey, Sharon, how are you doing today?
I am doing real well. How about you?
I'm safe. And alive, and I'm glad to know that you're safe and you're alive right along with
exactly.
me.
Exactly, and thriving in many ways.
Yes, definitely. Well, Sharon, it looks like you now have the floor, if you may want to call it, when it comes to speaking about our motto. You want to go ahead and do that?
Well, I guess I can definitely do that. I think it just kind of failed to me last time. And so, yes, I am up for that. I will call it my responsibility today.
Oh, wow. I love that. Oh, wow. Go ahead. Taking that example right to the forefront.
Exactly. Our motto says, we believe we are going to relate to each other. It doesn't matter what our kids say. It doesn't matter what your mom or dad says. It doesn't matter what Jesus says. And if that offends anyone, we truly apologize because that is not the intent. But we are going to relate. Yet we feel we need to relate in a balanced way. What do we mean by a balanced way? Well, it means friendship and sharing is on one side of the scale. And on the other side, you have the lover and sexual compatibility. The lover is not rational nor logical, mostly full of feelings and emotions. The sexual compatibility is passionate and is about physical chemistry. It has to do with, do we click? The friendship side is the unconditional side. This side is about giving and receiving ideas, thoughts, dreams, material and financial things. The side that says we feel each other together.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What we find is that most relationships are built on the belief that we can be friends, but we can't be lovers. Or we can be lovers, but we can't be friends. So as a result, we marry or have long-term relationships with our lovers, not our friends.
Wow.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah, but it still happens all the time. Yes.
Yet we believe your best friend can and should be your best lover also. Of course, not all of your best friends. To that extent, we work towards creating a thriving relationship.
Yes. Enters the thriving relationship. What we've been going over is many of what we call the glues that are part of the thriving relationship. For those who are new to Taking the Journey Together, we've been, in turn, talking about our experience with relationships and also giving a goal, a higher standard, a path that you can look at going to create a thriving relationship in your life, whether you're in a relationship or you want to move into a relationship. We feel that these glues or elements of glues can help you out. I'm going to go through just a couple of them real quickly, which was friendship, companionship, partnership. And then we went to the hot glue portion, which is honesty, openness, transparency, and believable. And then we went through alliances, coalition, honor, and reciprocity. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Integration. Mm-hmm. We just finished up intimacy.
Yes, we did.
And that was a long one. That we spent about three sessions on intimacy.
Exactly. Into us, you can see us. Something like that. I can't remember what you said.
Yes, it was. It turned out to be into me. See,
but yes.
We both say that. And so we are into, I am into you, you are into me.
Good. So that's how we're into us. Yeah, I love that. That's very, very good. So today we're kind of piggybacking off of one of the famous Isley Brothers song called In the Dark. And I know some of us out there listened to that song and remember that song. And that song was almost like a cry, if you may want to say, or a moan or a sadness of a period of time in your life when you were connected with someone who you're very close to, probably most likely a mate, and you were married or a mate in a partnership. And at that time, you felt like there was somebody else in that relationship that was pretty much relating to your mate, whether it was emotionally or whether it was physically or both. And it felt like there were some footsteps. That's just kind of like their representation in the dark that you just did not know. Your mate wasn't telling you. Mate wasn't saying anything, but you could feel that there was a difference. And I would say that I remember in my first relationship that very song became one of those songs that was kind of like my crying over spilled milk that I listened to many times when my first relationship, my first love, my first fantasy, my first we're going to be at this forever came to a point where it was not going to be that way, that somebody else was taking my place, as they say. Somebody else crept in into the relationship, and I felt that there wasn't a clear path that I can see that what was going on, and all of the fantasies that we were supposed to be going somewhere, all the fantasies of we were going to have children, and then after children go, they're going to come back, see us as grandparents, and then from there we see them get older and grandkids and all that stuff just was not going to come to pass. And all the responsibility as a male who felt that, hey, I made this commitment. I made this vow. It was going to be forever. I faced reality in my face. And for a lot of reason, it was not going to happen. And I remember the tears and the sadness over that. And this responsibility thing to me was like, it ain't no more. I ain't believing this fantasy anymore. I'm not going for this anymore, and I'm not planning to be responsible of making it happen anymore. And that was a sad period of my life. I do remember that.
Yeah, that would, it happens from both sides because it's a little different because they're speaking, the Isley Brothers are speaking it from a male point of view, but anyone who has gone through that hurt or that pain that to some extent says, I'm just not, you're not it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You're not good enough anymore or whatever. But the bottom line is whatever it was that you were responsible for in the relationship is eroding.
Yes.
And that's hard to deal with because you almost always in a situation like that, you see yourself as the cause, as the thing that has caused things to break down.
Exactly.
And so it's your responsibility. You know, in my case, it was my responsibility to fix it because I had messed it up somehow. Yeah. Don't know how.
And it seems like,
don't know what
culture-wise, many times I've always heard that it seems that a woman, especially in a lot of African-American relationships where I've heard that it's the woman who feels like she needs to fix that man and to make this relationship work. Yeah. And yet we also know, as we're, you know, looking at Isley Brothers' song, there's that part he says, "You know, I still care. What's the use of going anywhere?" And I'm thinking in my period of time that when I was going through that, that's what I felt. That's what I believed.
Yeah.
And that's what I presented it to my other mate. But it seemed to be of no avail.
Yeah.
It seemed to be like it didn't at all register to her anymore. And it became a reality. And that fantasy was, it don't make a difference if you care.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good fantasy because it ain't going nowhere if the other person don't really care.
Exactly. And that was the thing. From my standpoint, the responsibility was not to fix him. It was to fix the relationship. But the problem was, I didn't know what was wrong with the relationship. I didn't know what had what was broken. So I didn't really know how to fix it. So I just was kind of spinning wheels and putting Band-Aids on things. It was kind of like, I could have easily said, Katrina happened in my relationship probably 20 years before I realized that the floodwaters were taking over.
Yeah, I like, you know? That. I like that. I understand that, too. It took me a little while before I finally believed it.
Yeah.
Without going into detail, mm-hmm. It took me a while to want to believe. Because I had to swallow my pride the first time. I figure, you know, I'm here doing this for a lifetime. I'm connected to him forever. I'm believing all of that hype in so many words. I'm trying to build that family. I'm not saying I was perfect, but at least on that level, I was very serious about it. Loyalty and all that good stuff. I mean, I was very serious about it. And yet that it was all falling apart. And in turn, I figured, well, if I presented that particular portion, and I wasn't seeing anybody, wasn't planning to, and all that, you know, good to death do we part, that there's no way that this other person is going to happen, especially as a male, African-American male at that. But yet it just does not become true. And you know, the sad thing about it is that the children, our children at that particular time, they also, I could tell, were in that same vortex of that belief.
Yeah.
That we presented. I ended up being mostly me presented. They were in that same four decks, and they just didn't want to believe that mom and dad, now that fantasy is getting ready to break mm-hmm. up, and the reality is it's not going to happen. And because of that, I could understand why they felt it's got to be all far.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to that fantasy, when it comes to that forever thing that we see on TV, we see on radio, we see every place, we go through church hearing, there's no way that mom and dad are thinking that way because they live in the forever fantasy. So it's got to be us that's causing that problem.
But, you know, one of the problems, or where the real problem exists, is mm-hmm. the fact that we are raised to believe in the happily ever after and the forever.
Forever, ever?
The forever love. But we really don't, you know, it's kind of like a hypocritical fantasy also.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are raised to believe that, but we don't have examples of it in our households.
Mm.
We don't have a lot of examples of it in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our churches, you know. But the thing of it is, we buy into it
mm-hmm.
because we believe that the people who are selling this to us have our best interest at heart, and they want what's best for us. Then they want us to have a better existence than they have.
Exactly.
You know, so we mm-hmm. buy into it. But the problem is, because they don't really have it or haven't experienced it,
mm-hmm.
they don't know how to explain to us what our responsibility is in making sure that happily ever after happens.
Well, not only explain to it in words, but they don't actually have the action to it.
Exactly.
And one thing when it comes to knowing, mm-hmm. knowing from a wise point of view is something that you talk because you do.
Yeah.
Something that you do because you're going to act, something that you talk because you're going to do.
Yeah.
It's both of them. And that's where we look at thriving relationships as being a goal, as being a place, as being a upscale, upgrade, whatever you may mm-hmm. want to call it in a relationship, where if you move to these hot glues, these things,
the foundations,
yes, mm-hmm. to create a good bonding in your relationship, then it doesn't become a fantasy. It becomes a reality that's built on what we call is some spirituality.
Exactly.
And that has to do with the real eternity.
Right.
It has to do with that which has made up all that is all around us, as we say, we are, what is it? We're stardust.
Yeah.
But those who believe in God and other gods, that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Because we also feel that these same principles are the principles that in turn you can follow even in your belief systems, and you will find the same kind of results in your relationships if you choose that way. So it's important. And now as we talk about responsibilities, that has to do with in that scenario we came about with, that we still have some responsibilities that are not attached to feelings, like your children become your responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And many times in our relationship, we drop off our children when that happens.
Yes.
That forever thing drops.
Yes.
That forever feeling that you have, that in loveness, whatever you may want to call it, we drop off that mm-hmm. we feel, I'm no more responsible to connect with that child anymore. I'm no more responsible being that forever father that I was going to do. Or I'm no more responsible being that mother who's going to try to make sure that father stays connected without trying to blame him. Oh, I'm not going to let him stay connected.
Right.
I'm from that end. And then the children gets the byproduct of it. But responsibility says something different, does it not, Sharon?
Exactly.
What does responsibility say in a relationship, a thriving relationship?
It says that you're willing to accept that everyone makes mistakes. And we learn how to take responsibility and grow. And that's under the understanding that nobody is perfect. You know, the part of the thing is, one of the problems with that is when we're little and we make a mistake, we get chastised for it.
Yes.
And we're taught that you chastise someone when they make a mistake rather than helping them to grow from it. And so that becomes kind of hard sometimes. But if you are in a thriving relationship, you already have that understanding, you know, and sometimes the chastisement comes from you.
Yes, yes, yeah. Sometimes your own consciousness is chastising you.
Yes.
If you have any guilt mm-hmm. or conviction from inside.
Yeah.
Though today it looks like people are very narcissistic and turn very self-centered and self-serving, and they have no real empathy or compassion for other people. Maybe it might go no further than the kids and the family, but anybody else,
if
they don't go any further than that. And most of the time, those people like that don't have real empathy and compassion for their own self.
Right.
They don't have much self-awareness of themselves from the standpoint of, you know, maybe I'm not being the best that mm-hmm. I can be. Maybe I could be causing this problem in this relationship, or causing why this thing's happening over and over again.
You said something that we probably want to take a minute and think and speak mm-hmm. about, because a lot of people don't understand what that is. They get it confused with self-consciousness.
Mm.
Self-awareness is something that is different from self-consciousness. You know, we look at self-conscious of, you know, you walk out of the house, and if you're a woman, you'll understand this. You walk out of the house and you know that your dress is dipping a little bit on one side more than the other, but you don't have time to do anything about it. So you're conscious, you're constantly pulling at the other side, trying to make it even, or you know, pull it up on one side and hold it with your arm just to try to make it even so that nobody will pay attention. That's self-conscious.
Yeah. And you notice how you said that you really weren't being self-aware. So that tells you
right.
that being self-aware doesn't mean you pay attention to your conscious.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who are somewhat self-aware of what's mm-hmm. around them because they're observing yeah. it, but they are not self-conscious of themselves.
Mm-mm.
They have did nothing to look at themselves internally
right.
and find out who are they? What are they to be in this world?
Mm-hmm.
What can they do to give back? We hope during this time of this virus going on that being at home will give you that time. You should take that time when it comes to reflection and finding that out about yourself. And we hope everybody does that, but
yeah.
that's very important. Yeah. I'm looking at a note before you go into that has to do with taking responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having open communication yeah. with you about the feelings and being willing to admit that they can grow from the hard pains or hard parts of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Your partner and you learn to take responsibility when their own behavior and hold themselves accountable to their action. Now, that's that point that I can agree when it comes to taking what? Self-responsibility,
yeah.
okay?
Yeah.
Taking your own self-responsibility. I can see that. I see you also looking at something that maybe you want to talk about that has to do with the self-awareness.
Yeah, well, the self-awareness, I think, plays a big part in this, in being able to take responsibility, because it's in order for you to take responsibility for yourself and for the things that you do, you have to know who you are. You have to understand your character, you know, who you are as far as your characteristics and your character traits, your feelings, your motives, your desires. Why are you doing certain things? Why do you do certain things? But a lot of us, just say it's just because it is, or I've always done this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily being self-aware.
Exactly. I hear that old saying that I've heard many times from some partners I hung with and some sisters and that I know of. And they say, hey, people better accept me for the way I am, because I'm the same. I'm always the same and always will be the same.
And that's kind of sad, because
mm-hmm.
if you lock yourself into that, you have you lose the opportunity to grow,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
know. Here I go with cliches again, and I'm sorry about that, but that's just kind of who I am and how I am. I look and think and talk in cliches often,
mm-hmm.
but you know, people are like plants.
Mm-hmm.
We grow and we, you know, flower and we have, you know, new aspects of us that branch off. But if we're always going to be static, you know, always the same, never going to change, you know, this is me, this is how I will always be. If that is your belief, your mantra that you live by, there's a lot that you're going to miss.
Exactly. There's another thing too, that's very aware. Usually when a person says that, from my experience, they really don't want to take responsibility
exactly.
for themselves. They really want you in that relationship to take responsibility
mm-hmm.
for the relationship, which is them. And you find that many codependent relationship, the person who's dependent will say that
yeah.
and stick to that. And they usually are connected with someone who they rely upon taking responsibility of the
mm-hmm.
relationship, because they ain't planning to change about nothing.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's not being self-aware at all. It's not taking responsibility, and it's also not communicating.
Exactly. It's being pretty much self-centered.
Yes.
When you really think about it.
Definitely. So, so that means that if you are self-aware and you're taking responsibility for your awareness, what are some other things that you need to do?
Well, being aware of emotions are very important. We find that in a lot of relationships, especially when it comes to, my thing was moving there a little bit, especially when it comes to our type of relationships, emotions sometimes are the main thing that are guiding us and moving us. I mean, all people in all our culture background do. No, we're not robots or anything like that. But sometimes in some more ethnicities, we let our emotions rule us and guide us even that much more. And some of our emotions are not necessarily positive emotion. It could be anger, rage, resentment,
mm-hmm.
intolerance and things like
yeah.
that. In our relationships, and them are the part of the emotions that we need to take responsible for, especially when they're the negative ones and not too much of the positive ones, high energy ones, as they say, that we find a lot in our relationships, that are that side that people won't take responsibility for, and they won't examine that their beliefs are the underlying emotions that are really feeding their feelings.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And from that standpoint, one of the things I was getting ready to ask you a few minutes ago is, from that standpoint, do you think it is the other person in the relationship's responsibility to see the best in someone, or is it their responsibility to see the best in themselves?
Well, if you ask me from a thriving relationship point of view, I always think a thriving relationship point of view is always about us. So I would give you an answer that both.
Okay.
Both need to be on that same page.
Yeah.
It brings that harmony. It brings at least the same path that we're both walking on, maybe stumbling over different rocks as we walk, maybe noticing different trees on both sides of the path as we do when we take our walk almost every day in that that beautiful little secret spot that we have. But I really believe, hopefully answer your questions, it's something that we both need to take responsibility for.
Yeah.
It's at the end of the line, it's us who have to create that relationship in that relationship.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And from that standpoint, and I want to back up just a little bit to where we were talking about being willing to accept that everyone makes mistakes. You know, at that point, we also need to be able to laugh at our mistakes instead of chastise ourselves for our mistakes. And I'm not saying laugh at it to make light of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying laugh at it to take some of the pressure off so that it's easier for you to accept that responsibility until you are very comfortable with accepting that. Because that's one of the things with thriving relationships. And oh my goodness, do I know this?
Yes.
Thriving relationships take work.
Yeah, she has her hand on me right now. You can't see that out there, folks. But she has her hand on my shoulder, so it's got to be pretty serious that I need to listen to, but go ahead.
No, it is. It's very difficult. And I say that and I, you know, reach out that way because it's something that I work at every day to make sure that, you know, I am growing in the thriving relationship. Yeah, I believe wholeheartedly in thriving relationship. But does that mean that I get an A+ every day? That's the teacher in me talking. No, it doesn't mean I get an A+ every day. It means that some days I get a C and some days I get a D and there are some days that I get an F-. But I'm still striving to be successful in that thriving relationship and taking my responsibility for it, whether I speak about it or not. But the thing of it is, we got to always work towards having that, that understanding of where we are and taking responsibility for what we're doing to make that thriving relationship continue to thrive.
Yes. Yeah. You can use your emotions many times to understand something that is probably important to you. That's right. We didn't say drop your emotions totally. We usually pick up most of the anger and upset emotions. I kind of think about Sanford's son and what was the other particular lady? I forgot her name.
Esther. His sister-in-law.
But we always look at that many times as being the relationships between many times black folks when it comes to relating to one another. There's always angriness and argument between one another. But, you know, we can still use that emotion to understand that something, that there is something that's probably important to us. And that we need to look at that. This could be a trigger that probably is talking about something that's more deeper, that's really behind it, and we're not paying attention to it. And our emotions is trying to let us know that. We could be anger about something that really has something to do with something that was hurtful in the past, and we're blaming it as garbage on someone else in our relationship,
exactly.
Mainly taking out on our mate.
And quite often you take it out on the person that is available.
Okay, we're going to go to a PSA right now. We'll be right back.
This is a message from the Georgia State Department of Public Health. Right now, federal and state guidelines recommend staying home if possible and limiting time in public places as precautions associated with social distancing. The more we use social distancing techniques, the more we reduce the risk of the virus spreading. This is especially important for older people and those with underlying health conditions who are most vulnerable to the virus. More information can be found at dph.georgia.gov.
You're listening to WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
WRUU is seeking to connect business and organizational partners with our diverse and passionate listeners. If you appreciate our local radio station and have the enthusiasm to cultivate sponsorship from business and organizational leaders, we have a commission-based position that might be right for you. We're looking for a non-commercial underwriting representative to take WRUU's message into the community and to further support Savannah's only community radio station. For more information, or if your business would like to support us right now, email fundraising@wruu.org.
Clean Coast is a volunteer organization which works to combat marine debris by holding monthly beach and marsh cleanups along the Georgia coast. If you would like to find out more or volunteer, you may visit cleancoast.org.
Now you have a chance to support both Savannah Independent Artists and WRUU during this shelter-in-place order to stop the spread of COVID-19. Creatives in Need is a group of independent artists hosted by the Roots Up Gallery, which is collaborating with WRUU during this shelter-in-place to offer an online art gallery at www.rootsupgallery.com. For every work of art sold at this online gallery, the artists receive 80% from the sales and 20% goes to WRUU and its programs like Art on the Air. Interested listeners can go to www.rootsupgallery.com to start shopping today.
We're back again. Wow.
No distractions going on. No
distractions going on anywhere. Hey, except for in this case, one of the distraction is that glue called responsibility. Yes. Responsibility should not be a distraction. Responsibility should be an important path in that relationship. That path of responsibility. Exactly. That path of responsibility means whether you're in love or whether you're not, whether you are connected in that relationship in an intimate way or item way, you know, married, yeah, paper and, you know, relationship, mm-hmm, and all that stuff. It may not be there, but you may have children, you may have a business, you may have some other responsibilities that you two connected together to do that you need to be responsible for. And I don't want to go as far as alimony and child pay, but yet that could be part of that responsibility, right?
That is absolutely true. But in a thriving relationship, you have that communication piece going with that responsibility. So, you know, you may not have to deal with those issues simply because you have learned how to talk about them and work your way through them together.
Yeah, I think about the spiritual meaning of an African principle called Ujamaa. I am who I am because of who you are. Mbutu, I'm sorry. So the importance in that you're just saying, following up, is if you two are connected like that, then it makes it hard for that, have that separation, and therefore it's just the kids I'm going to take care of. I don't want nothing to do with you.
Right.
But if that does happen, because people are in that relationship, they're not in that idol side, at least try to make sure that you stay friends for the children to keep that responsibility. We are at least friends between each other. I know that's a hard time for us to do in many ethnicities. It's hard for us to stay friends with one another for our children's sake, even through that. And they may have another mate. They may have another particular relationship going on. But it's important for our children to not to make them feel that when it comes down to it, like we said before, it was really their fault because that forever thing that you two were supposed to be together forever, forever, is not happening. Yeah. So they figure it's got to be us. It's us as kids that made that happen.
Exactly. But, you know, one of the things that this song was talking about just as it got to the end is, you know, you're hearing footsteps in the dark, but they're distractions going on elsewhere.
Yes.
A lot of times the children are used as the distraction.
Oh, yeah.
So
you
don't
about
have
that?
To think about it. So you don't have to deal with it. I'll put it on the back burner because, you know, little Jamal is sick. Little, you know, whoever it is you know, got a recital or something. You know, we've got to go to basketball practice. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. I don't have time to deal with it. And it gets pushed under the rug, as they used to say, swept under the rug.
Yes.
But at this point, you know, you can't do that. If you're trying to have, or you're planning to have, or you're working towards having a thriving relationship, when you see that these things are starting to happen, starting to fall apart.
Yes.
You know, that may be one of those times when it becomes your responsibility to say, look, we need to call a family meeting, and that may be the thing. You know, somebody has to be responsible. Somebody has to be responsible for saying things are not going as they should be. You know, let's not just wait and listen to the footsteps. You know, that's trying to catch up with us and trying to, you know, let's bring us into the light. Let's bring our relationship into the light, and that way, you know, and be sure that we continue to have a thriving relationship, or this is where we learn to have a thriving relationship. You know, if the point where he says, you know, I still care. If you still care and you both still care, get the distractions out of the way.
Yes.
And be responsible enough to, you know, pull your emotions aside and start dealing with things. And since that's what we are really here focusing on, are thriving relationships. And understanding that, you know, no relationship is 100% perfect. They all take work.
Yes.
But, you know, where's your responsibility in making it work?
Exactly. Let's talk about some responsibility, too, why we are here. Let's look at this one responsibility as for some example. Being willing to accept that everyone makes mistakes. Being willing to make to accept that everyone makes mistakes, we learn how to take responsibility and we grow. I think sometimes that's the hardest thing in many relations, especially when you get older and you get into maybe a second marriage. You got this idea, I'm older, I've been through all that, I've learned everything, so you can't really tell me nothing whatsoever. Even though there's some young folks who feel that way, I'll be honest with you. But anyway, I know when I was younger, I felt that way many times.
Of course, because when you're young, of course you know everything.
Because you figure you're going to live forever. I don't know about this virus time. Is that going to happen? But anyway, that it's that mindset of what is it, feeling like you're
what do they say? The world is your oyster or something like that?
No, it's kind of like a comic book. You feel like you're internal, not internal. What's the word? Mortal. Immortal. Immortal? Is it? Immortal. There it is. And so, therefore, you don't make any mistakes. You're not going to, in turn, admit you make any mistakes. You're not going to give any idea that you make any mistakes. So vulnerability and being transparent or being transparent and vulnerable is not something that you're going to represent or show in your relationship, because you basically are about, I'm always okay. I'm always right. In fact, I'm never wrong. And if you think I'm wrong, then I'm going to turn back around and let you know, no, you were wrong because I'm always right.
Exactly.
And that's kind of
like you said, do you want a relationship or do you want to be right?
Yeah, exactly.
and if you want to always be right, and there are some people that will say to you, this is what I said, and so, you know, you're going against me. And it's like, okay, well, what about my opinion? You know, but sometimes it's okay, I want to be right. I want a relationship, but mm-hmm. I want to be right too. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can't have it both ways.
Yeah, sometimes. In fact, we were counseling a couple about that. And I was telling the young man that, because he basically has that kind of, you know, alpha male and all that good stuff. He kind of figures that when it comes down to it, I'm always right. And he has some actual applications through observation and experience that it turn comes out in a right way, or the most right way, at least that's what he thinks. But yet at the same time, his mate basically says that sometimes I would like to feel that I'm right even when I may be wrong. And we had to talk to him about the fact that, do you want a relationship or do you always want to be right? Because sometimes that person wants to feel that what I say, whether right or wrong, is important to you. Because mm-hmm. when you do allow that and you do hear me out, or even let it follow through on it and we fall on our face, that at least you say to me that I'm important and what I feel and what I think is important.
Right. And sometimes it's good. You know, you just need.
Oh, I'm important. I should say yes. And so therefore what I say, right or wrong, is important too.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a better way to say it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you lose your voice if you feel like you never get a chance to express yourself. And then there are times when you know you're wrong. You just need to get it out
mm-hmm.
so that you can move on, you know, and then you can turn around and say, yeah, you know, you were right. I was wrong.
Well, I think also, too, a wise man says that a wise man knows that he never knows, or a woman, too, never knows that, never says they know everything.
Right.
From that end, I always had that old saying, we're growing to learn and we're learning to grow. We're always growing and we're always learning. And that's part of the adventure of life. And so learning how to take responsibility in growing in a relationship means that there's mistakes you're going to make. You need to be open and transparent about those mm-hmm. mistakes, and in turn understanding that it ain't going to always be your mate that's going to be doing that. Sometimes, and maybe many times, it could be you.
Right. Right.
And that's so, how you both grow together. Yeah,
exactly. And so that's
not an easy thing to do.
No, not
I know. Yeah. Yes. But when you get old, especially you get stuck in your ways, that ain't an easy thing to do.
No.
Though, as I said, I know young folks, they just as hard headed and fixed in their own ways. I know my uncle, my mom used to say, a hard head makes us soft. And you know the rest of it, too.
Yeah. My grandmother used to say that, too. So. And yeah, you still don't learn how to deal with that. So it's,
no, you don't.
And when you get older, it's, you know, and that's the other thing. When you get older, you start thinking, well, I have experienced this and I must have learned something from that. Well, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that some of us older people don't realize. Well, maybe you didn't learn. Maybe you learned part of the lesson, but not all of the lesson. So you've got to go through it again.
Exactly.
Just to get the rest of that lesson.
Exactly. You learn what you was to learn at that particular time
mm-hmm.
and space. Yet that other particular time that's ahead of that time and space, there's a time that in turn you can learn something new and different
mm-hmm.
at that. Now, don't get me wrong. History does repeat itself, so let's get that straight. There are some things that you can learn from the past that is positive you bring forward to the future. Sankofa speaks that very strongly, no doubt about it. Yet there are some things that from the past that are happening again in the future you didn't learn much from at all, and you thought you did.
Exactly.
And you ain't going to learn this particular time around, because you're going to take the same thing that you did before that you didn't learn from, and it's going to happen again, and you'll get to probably the same results.
And one of the things that you probably want to take a look at is the fact that lessons have various perspectives to them.
Yes.
It's, you know, a lesson is not one-dimensional. There are various aspects that, you know, you can learn from. So, you know, it's like when we have our children and we're walking down the street, well, we teach them to look where you're putting your feet.
Okay.
But also that lesson is, you know, when you get to the corner, look out for cars. You know,
okay.
It's you know, so it's different perspectives to the same lesson, and you've got to learn them all.
Yeah, well, if not in this lifetime, some people say another lifetime.
Yeah,
taking time out to make yourself happy, generally moves you to share that happiness with your loved ones. I'll say it again. Taking time out to make yourself happy generally moves you to share that happiness with your loved ones. Now, I think that generally move is put in there because not all the time making yourself happy is going to make that other mate happy with you when we keep it for real, okay? And so it becomes your responsibility to make sure that you're happy, no doubt about it. What do you think about that before I use that, go over the general bridge?
I think that is very important, but I think it only works if what is making you happy is something that you and your partner can share in,
mm-hmm.
you know, because a lot of good it does to, you know, to be happy. You know, I'm out here gardening and I am happy as a lark. And when the harvest comes in, it's like, oh, look, I have all these lovely, lovely radishes and I get to eat them all myself. Well, that's not going to make, you know, the person that you're with happy because they're getting nothing out of it. You know, you mm-hmm. take, for example, the other day, very good case in point. You started playing your drums.
Yes.
And...
they're not acoustical drums, folks. She wouldn't want all that noise in the house. So they're electronic drums. I put the headphones on, and she can barely hear anything.
You had them hooked up to the speaker.
Okay, wow. You're just going to bust me out like that.
Yeah, you did. But that's the thing about
okay.
it. He was enjoying playing the drums
uh-huh.
and getting into it and doing all that. I'm walking around, I'm walking through, I'm listening to the music, mm-hmm. I'm listening to him playing, and I'm enjoying it too.
Okay.
And it started...
It's been a long time since I played. I mean, it's like getting back on a bicycle, but I'm nowhere as polished as I was before,
yeah.
but it was enjoyable getting lost in that time, yeah.
And it was enjoyable to me. So the joy that he was bringing to himself spilled over to me, and my spirit got a lot lighter a lot more excited and a lot
cool.
more energized. And I found myself dancing and moving to the mm-hmm. to the beat that he was playing on the drums. I love drum beats anyway.
Uh-huh.
And it just kind of rejuvenated me and enlivened me. And that was a good thing. So that's mm-hmm. one of those things that he did something that made himself happy that ended up making me happy also.
Okay. I was sweating like a pig at the time, but I did look up and see you doing your thing. And so, yeah, okay, that's a good example.
Exactly.
That's a real good example.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
So you would hope it's not generally, you would hope that most of the time that if you make yourself happy, especially when it comes to a thriving relationship, one of the motivations of creating that love for one we feel from a us point of view, that if I create that happiness, I create that love that first is connected to me, then it, that energy, it cannot help but continue to grow and in turn spill out, if you may want to say, to the rest of the world, in this particular case, to the mate that you love. And that's part of that process of sharing it from that mm-hmm. end. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
So another one is the realization that some of your behavior was and is unhealthy.
Uh-oh.
And that is a difficult one for us. But that's
yeah.
taking responsibility to the fact that you need some healing.
Yes.
And most of us need healing from one time to another. And sometimes we get the same illness and we got to heal from it all over again.
That's that responsibility
exactly,
part.
And exactly.
And that may be that we may need to talk to some outside counselors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we are always glad to help people in that particular area, mainly just as coaches and life coaches and guides, to be honest with you. Any deep kind of counseling needs someone with a degree and psychology and psychosis and all that stuff. It takes a long time to unwind and undo some deep seated pain that have been locked in for years and years. And we leave that to those specialists. But from that end, we definitely have to take that responsibility. Mm-hmm. If we want to continue to grow in our relationship, or we want to continue just to be able to relate. Sometimes it may be we need that just to be able to relate to our children. I know that there's been some past relationships that I know of when older for the father. I'm just giving that as an example, where the father, in order for him to still keep on relating to his children or connect to his children, because there was some physical abuse in the relationship, he had to go to some counseling before he could actually see that child, mainly anger management counseling. If he did not go to the anger management counseling and prove that it was there and that there was some development of him being able to realize or getting better is the better word, shorter word, then he really was not allowed to be able to see the children or see them unsupervised. That's what that is. And so that's important. But he took the responsibility for it because he really loved his children.
Yeah.
And he understood that there was something going on that was with him in him and that he needed to deal with. And so for the love of his children, he took that responsibility and went to see that counseling, did the counseling for himself.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I was about to say, that, you know, in those kind of situations, if you're in a situation like that and you don't take responsibility for your unhealthy behavior, other people suffer. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't even have to be that bad. It could just be, you know, I picked a fight with you today. You mm-hmm. know, I just kind of needled you until we were arguing. And you realize that that was you.
What? That was you this morning?
And so,
when you came into the office?
Yes.
And I was doing something mad at the banker person and did something?
Yes.
You came in and just picked?
Yes. Okay, that was not me.
Oh, okay. I was mad. I know for one thing. That customer service person made me upset over some crap.
That was not me.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. That wasn't you. You're right about that.
But then, you know.
But your approach when you came in at that time, not knowing.
Take responsibility.
I take the responsibility that when you came into the office, you didn't pay attention to where I was at that particular moment and didn't ask. And then in turn expected me to just be up and running with you. I thought it was early in the morning. You're already up and running talking to the kids. So you figure I was there. You didn't know that I already was tangling on the phone with some customer service people that happened from over the day and night. And I was not happy with whatever the situation.
When I stepped my head through that door, you should have said, not now.
You knocked that.
I'm like, sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
Girl, I'm sorry. I messed everything up. But anyway.
Just like you did that morning, too.
When I stuck my head in the door, you should have said, not now. And I would have turned around and I would have gone right back. Because I only had like 3 minutes anyway.
I will hear you out. And say that taking responsibility doesn't always mean that you're feeling right and you're feeling good. But if it is not the other person that in turn is not being consciously aware as they can be, and many times they should be, especially if they're not making a pattern, not being consciously aware and they're only concerned about themselves, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
But if they in turn show themselves of being concerned about you in all areas, not just when you're down, but when you're up in your down, then it becomes and behooves you. Yes, you're right. I use the word behoove. It behooves you to take that responsibility for yourself. As you said, I should have said, hey, I'm having a hard time on this phone right here. So can you come back another time and then we'll talk?
Yeah. And that's what I was getting ready to say, because I had actually forgotten about that this morning. But what I was going to say was, if you know that you picked a fight, when you get over or get past whatever it was, it's your responsibility to go back and say, hey, look, I'm sorry, because I had a bad day. And
doesn't mean you have to have a bad day.
Exactly. I did not need to take it out on you.
Yeah.
So, be responsible and be the bigger person.
Exactly. Well, we're getting to the end of our program. And I think that as we get to the end of the program, we know that next week or next Saturday, we're going to still be on this responsibility. It's a very important part of our relationship. Wouldn't you say, Sharon?
I absolutely would say so.
Well, you wanted to say something before we end, right?
I just want to remind everybody that our greatness lies not so much in being able to remake the world as being able to remake ourselves.
You have been listening to Taking the Journey Together on WRUU. We hope we left you with some information to smooth your relationship journey. If you have any relationship questions that you'd like us to explore, send us an email to ttjt@takingthejourney-together.com or post on Facebook at www.facebook.com/ttjtogether.
Until next Saturday at 9 a.m., enjoy your journey together. The viewpoints expressed in the preceding program were not necessarily those of WRUU, its license holder, or its staff.